Hello again. This is Josh Carr at The Real Angle, and today I'm speaking with Chad Levins at Repower Holdings. Chad, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Josh. It's good to be here.
Good, good. Glad to have you here too. Excellent. So let's start with the basics. Let's talk a little bit about Repower, what you do there, your career trajectory. I'm actually really excited to talk to you today. I'm just going to get that out of the way first off, just because anytime I can talk to someone about solar and real estate, which are two of my most favorite things, it's a good day. So let's talk a little bit. What is Repower? What does Repower Holdings do?
So Repower Holdings is a concept that's coming together. Let's put that out front and center. We are aiming to have a commercial real estate investment fund that works as a vehicle for our investors to allocate capital specifically to, call it clean energy or climate transition allocation. So while at the same time bringing to their portfolio a traditional strong economic commercial real estate portfolio. Meaning,
okay,
for those investors who want to put money into the green space, maybe they don't want to gamble their money on some carbon capture thing. They don't want to sort of invest in a pure play energy project. They just want to invest in real estate because real estate's what they know. The point and sort of the unique angle that this fund will be taking is that it will allocate its dollars into energy improvement projects that are only a part of the property improvement plan for a value-add commercial real estate deal or a ground-up new construction. And
got it.
In that way, we are only financing the energy project piece of a larger, strong commercial real estate deal. And then we swap our coverage of those costs in as our position of equity in the deal. So we're working with other sponsors. We're not leading the deals, but we're finding those sponsors who are saying, yeah, we know this is going to improve our NOI. We're not exactly sure how to do it, and we need to finish our capital stack anyway. Well, Repower Holding can come along and sort of solve both of those problems at once. We're not just capital for a deal. We're capital bringing in tow expertise to execute on commissioning those improvements.
Right, so but when we talk about a deal, just to dumb it down for a moment. So let's say I'm a real estate developer and I want to build a warehouse for FedEx, right? Traditionally, I build a box, put in FedEx as a tenant. My lease is usually some yield on cost based on what the rent is going to be. You know, it's a pre-built building. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. Now, in your case, because you're coming in as, the solar portion, I guess you would provide capital to put panels on the roofs, and then you own the panels on the roofs, and I own the real estate?
No. We're coming in purely as an equity position in the real estate as a whole. We're not bifurcating the solar or the EV charging infrastructure or the battery storage backup resiliency package or the energy efficient windows and fancy lighting. It's all part of the building of the asset, right? And so we want to be in that Class A share LP for position like any other member in the deal, because to your example, the sponsor putting together that box is going to say, okay, well, there is some marginal additional cost to building my box if I build my box more efficiently and add solar, etc. However, when I compare that marginal increase in cost to the lower OPEX I'm expecting to see, as well as, oh, by the way, by building to these standards, I'm qualifying for a couple basis points off my sponsor debt. All in, my returns are going to look stronger on the deal by having the solar versus not.
So
given that, they now know that there is a cost associated with that as part of their overall project cost. And we're saying, well, we're going to come in for that amount of dollars. And on a large, you know, say I looked at a new hotel construction recently. And so from the ground up, the full cost burden, including land and everything, was in the $22 million range. And then when we looked at the allocation of the costs that could be said to be going to the energy project. So, and think when you're building with strong energy efficiency goals in mind, that means your energy project is going to be inclusive of energy efficient windows. It's going to be inclusive of an above code HVAC system. And as well as your solar covered parking in the hotel parking lot and your EV charging, et cetera. When you take all that into consideration, our equity contribution was fully the amount of equity that they needed for the deal, because they're already getting a 65% LTC from senior debt. And so they're, you know, and then they already had an equity participant who was covering the land. The only piece left in the amount of equity was equal to what our contribution was going to be anyway. So it's not necessarily, oh, we're coming in with a small minority stake of the LP position, right? So it can be all of it.
What knowledge are you contributing to this? Like, I mean, at the risk of being cheeky, what makes you different than simply someone who says, I've got a check and here's some money?
That, well, uniquely, the Repower Holdings Fund has Correlate Energy as one of the managing partners. And Correlate Energy is a public company. It's a large company with a national footprint that is a distributed clean energy project development company. I myself am really coming to this as an energy geek. I grew up professionally working with clean energy companies, both on the VC side, working at a clean energy incubator, as well as from the inside, helping a number of companies get up and off the ground. Some of those to some very successful engagements. One company I was involved with went on to develop 9 gigawatts of solar, which it sold to BP for a healthy sum. So,
got it.
Over time, I grew to recognize that it was far more valuable to look at combining commercial real estate investment with energy investment rather than doing a commercial real estate deal over here and then trying to tack on an energy improvement project to a pre-existing commercial real estate deal. It's like, well, that investor already had their theses, already made their capital improvement plan. They're already halfway through their hold period. Now you, the clean energy service company, are trying to get them to make a change to what that plan already was going in. It's far better to make those decisions together on the front end and just combine your energy improvement and commercial real estate investment thesis and run with it. So I started moving in that direction after working with a very large and successful commercial real estate investor as part of their team, helping them get a couple of deals together. I decided I'd work on it myself, set up my own commercial real estate investment fund. However, that is what led me to engage in Correlate Energy, who I originally approached as a strategic partner. But since, as a public company, they were doing really well, going through a big growth phase, I got enamored with the Correlate Energy team, and they talked me to bring all of my operations inside of Correlate. So now I'm under the Correlate umbrella. Correlate is already very creative in their financing solution. So they're typically have been out there as project developers going to owner operators of large commercial buildings and saying, okay, well, you know, we can help you improve your OpEx. You want to do this big solar deal. You want to do this big improvement. Here are your financing options. Maybe it's a power purchase agreement. They do a whole lot of those. You know, no money up, just sign this contract, and we're off to the races.
But they're focusing on just the solar part.
Finance, so energy project finances. Right. Yes.
Right. Just the energy.
Just the energy, right? So that's really what they sort of have drilled in on. However, in a lot of these conversations with potential customers of Correlate, they're talking with REITs that have a portfolio of assets, and those operators are saying, well, I'm also acquiring new assets, and on an ongoing basis, it would be a lot better if you could just come in at the transaction level rather than mid-hold period. And so then we start having those conversations, and they say, well, you know, I know PACE is out there, and PACE looks like a secondary debt to me, property assets, clean energy. My sponsor, primary debt doesn't really like it. I kind of got to work things out. It'd be a lot better if you could just come in as equity, you know. And so, well, that's kind of where I was leading with Repower Holdings before I kind of came inside the Correlate house. So now Correlate is saying, well, this looks like just another great solution we can provide to our customers, but it is different, right? So when Correlate signs and gets project financing for a PPA, the other side of that financing is saying, okay, well, it is contracted long-term regular cash flows off of energy that's being bought. Now we're saying that this capital is going to be backed by our equity position in a commercial real estate deal.
Yeah.
Well, you can still say, okay, look at the distributions we'll get long-term off of owning this asset. And it's collateralized because we're part of the ownership of that asset.
And I got to jump in on a couple items.
It works, but it's different, right? And so we just had to say to the capital partners on the other side of the deal, structurally, those funds that Correlate had been doing a lot of work with were written such that it had to go up against a PPA or an energy service contract. So we had to say, no, we need to set up a new fund that'll serve as a mechanism by which these energy projects that are going to be swapped in kind for a position in real estate can get financed.
Well, and I mean, just to jump in for a moment. So there are a couple items. I mean, so the first item is, yeah, so traditionally Correlate was doing, you know, PPA purchase or power purchase agreements, and they're just buying the energy. That much, they're doing something just purely the energy. You're doing the real estate and the energy sort of combined, and I get that. And I heard the reference to PACE financing, and I understand that's, you know, energy infrastructure type stuff. I know PACE financing is also pretty limited in terms of regulatory issues, like it's state by state, it's municipality by municipality, whereas coming in as an equity partner, you can just come in as an equity partner. You're not worried about what state it's in. Like, who cares about that? You know, I also think, and this is just me thinking, you know, when I think about PPAs, I think about, oh, it's an existing Walmart, we're putting solar panels on the roof, we'll just do the energy piece. When I think about real estate and energy, I imagine, and this is a guess, I imagine a lot of stuff you're looking at is more ground up development rather than existing, because if it's an existing building, like they already have equity partners in the real estate if it's existing. So it sounds like it's a product for ground up development versus, again, existing product.
No. So ground, okay. you're halfway there. Sure. It is equally relevant for value add plays where you've got somebody coming in, I'm buying a 1980s vintage hotel and it needs, you know, a full renovation. And since I'm going to go in there and completely redo this hotel anyway. While I'm at it, I'm going to fix the boilers. I'm going to change out the lighting. I may, you know, add something to the building wrap that'll improve the thermal performance of the building. I'm going to go put, you know, covered parking. And since I'm putting covered parking in the lot anyway, it might as well be solar covered parking.
Sure.
I'm going to install EV charging because that's got to be there. So value add plays where you're doing a renovation on a 1980s, 1970s vintage product.
Deep value add. You're not just simply saying I'm buying an apartment building and giving them nice kitchens with stuff for you.
That's exactly right. Although, I'll give you a really interesting example, and this was when I was working with the previous real estate investment firm, and they came to me and said, "Look, Chad, we've got a 27 building garden style apartment complex southwest of Boston. It's 1970s vintage, and it happens to be all bills included. So we, as the owner of this, you know, great multifamily asset, are paying $1 million a year for electricity as part of our OPEX. And that's all us. None of that is passed through triple net anything. And we already bought it. We bought it to just kind of give it a fresh coat of paint, fix up the parking lot, and you know, just kind of do a standard light touch value add play. But now that we're seeing kind of what you were doing over here and engaging sort of the co-energy and real estate investment play on this other project of ours, what do you think about this thing here? Should we put together some additional capital and address this?" And even though they were already into their holding period, they were looking at, based on the cap rate they were expecting to sell at, any dollar that would go towards improving their NOI, any dollar the NOI got improved would add $18 to their expected sales price. So we said, well, what would a full deep energy system retrofit look like on this to take this all the way to net zero? You're spending $1 million on electricity every year. What would it take to make that zero?
Okay.
And it was, you know, so it was expensive. I mean, obviously they were going to go in and they were imagining, oh, well, what if we did geothermal heat pumps for all the HVAC system and solar on every roof that would support it, you know, and add insulation, you know, add new fresh insulation into every building. And it was going to be $10 million. Like, this was a big chunk of change to make that improvement. But based on the cap rate they were going to sell it at, saving $1 million a year would add $18 million to the sales price.
Right.
So could you spend $10 million to make $18 million? Yeah. And that it doesn't stop there, because all of this was owned by the asset. None of it was like a third party contracted PPA, whatever. All improvements, which captured significant amounts of rebates and tax benefits. All those tax benefits and rebates accrued to the deal itself also. And so we spoke with National Grid, the utility company. We spoke with the Massachusetts Department of Energy Resources, worked out all of the possible benefits that we could get. And then net, now you're looking at something more like $5 million of net out. And so can we put in, you know, can we pull up $5 million of additional capital?
To make $1 million.
We weren't planning on doing it, but let's do a capital call, pull in $5 million additional, and now we're going to make $18 million when we sell the thing in 2 years.
Yeah, no, and plus, I think you've hit on
$2 million each year while we're holding it.
So, yeah, you've hit on a couple things. I mean, one thing is talking about the, it's all fine and good to say you're creating this value, but, you know, when are you getting access to that value? And as you said, you know, well, if you're selling it in 2 years, then, you know, then it's a screaming good deal. Of course, if you're going to hold it long-term for portfolio, then it's more just about what's your return on investment and savings rather than theoretical benefit. Not, I shouldn't say theoretical
you're,
benefit.
You're looking more cash flow yields, right? Yield on cash versus IRR.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. That, I should point that out. That's in the fund that we're putting together. It's the whole idea is to make it a short-term hold. So not only are you pulling forward all those cash flows, but you're also reducing your duration risk.
Right. And I think it's also, you know, at least something I'm seeing is, you know, a lot of the conversations I've had with people about energy efficiency, it's like they know, they understand it's a thing. They haven't really quantified it. They don't really have a good understanding internally on what the reasonable rate of return is that they want to earn on their investments. It's interesting to me. It's not mainstream and it's not a science project. It's somewhere in the middle, you know, and it's still something that's getting worked out. At least most of the conversations I have with people.
You're absolutely right. And depending on how you optimize it and where you are on a commercial real estate deal, the energy efficiency play, I mean, it's not going to save a bad deal, right? So if your return, as you were planning to do a sort of a traditional value add play and you weren't doing sort of any of this energy stuff, maybe you were saying, yeah, we think we'll come out with an 18% IRR. You know, so something good, but you know, that's kind of like what we're expecting to see. And now you say, okay, well, let's layer in increasing the marginal cost plan because we're going to be doing some additional energy stuff. But it's going to improve our OPEX. Maybe we'll also be getting better terms with our bank because now we're getting preferential lending because we can call it a green project.
All that and, stuff, yeah.
And you're going to go from 18% to 20%, right? You're not going to turn an 18% deal into a 40% deal, but it is marginally better. And why wouldn't you do it then?
Yeah, you're no, like, look, I mean, my experience has been a lot of the
over an 18. Yeah,
no, I mean, most of the energy efficiency conversations I find myself having are like, you know, when the debt markets basically froze and all of a sudden, you know, interest rates spike and deals aren't happening, then people start to look around at the existing assets they have and they go, wait a moment, my electric,
we squeeze out there.
My electric bill is high. I should do something about that, you know?
Yeah. And then it is really marginal because then especially for those deals, because everything locks up and nobody's really planning on selling anything. Now it's just, you know, what's the payback period? And the payback period is 7 years. Okay. Well, that's
sure.
I'm not going to jump up and get out of bed for that. You know,
and that's fine. It's just, you know, at the beginning, like, I mean, I remember the first stuff I worked on like that was just like, okay, you know, we have old school incandescent bulbs. Let's put in LEDs, you know, and we save money. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. I'm not saying we shouldn't save money. And
there's a lot of low-hanging fruit still out there. Like, so there's a lot of places where you still can get it right.
And it's not just solar. It's, you know, it's as you said, it's EV charging. I mean, it's, you know, it's wasted water. Water is huge. I mean, heating is a major expense for a building. And if you're heating hot water and it's literally going down the drain, you are just pissing away money. I mean, like, it's just going away. Like, why are you doing
that? There's some really, really neat sort of just recapture type products that are out there now.
Yeah, to harvest the heat from the wastewater and that sort of thing. Right. Yeah. No, it's interesting. I mean, there are a lot of technologies, you know, I always think of it sort of the, you know, when do we see the technologies at Home Depot? You know, when are they so mainstream that I can just go into a Home Depot and it's like just buying a wrench, you know, and we're not there yet. You know, we're there on things like LED light bulbs. We're not there on some of the other stuff, but that's okay. You know, it's a process. It's the mainstreaming of it. And that's why I wanted to talk to you. I just find it interesting to talk about things which are, again, not mainstream and not science projects, like something in the middle where there's something to learn. And it's interesting that you've combined the energy conversation with just the direct real estate conversation, which to me should have always been part of the conversation. I mean, you know, the old, it's a penny saved, a penny earned. You know, if I can cut expenses, that's, I'd argue.
It's also the way we're approaching it, it's an alignment of interests, right? So rather than the asset owner and investors sort of going out and finding, you know, a solution provider to pitch them on a fix, having the solution provider be the investor in the deal, we're all hitching our, you know, ponies to the same wagon, right? You know, so it's an alignment of interests that that really helps drive trust.
Well, that's an excellent point. I mean, as an owner of real estate, I've had the situation where I go out and I get two different service providers, give me two different numbers on, say, putting solar on a building. And then I, as the not solar professional, goes, well, wait a moment. This guy says I can save this money. And this gal says I can save that money. The numbers are not agreeing. So is it an issue of technology? Is someone lying to me? Like, what's... And then you just don't believe either number because you just go, okay, shrug, and then you just don't do anything. And that obviously doesn't help anybody because then nothing happens. So, yeah, no, I mean, definitely I'm a lot more likely to trust your opinion if you're actually my equity partner, because then when you say, I think I'm going to save this money, it's like, well, good, we're on the same page. You know, you're not just another service provider trying to, you know, overbill me for something that isn't real or something like that. So yeah, that's an excellent point. That's an excellent point, and I appreciate that. So you're in the fundraising mode right now. So I realize there's only so much you can say because you're fundraising. I will ask one or two questions though, to the extent you can't answer them. When do you think you'll be in the market deploying cash with people?
So ideally, Q1, because we have. You know, capital we think is going to come in, and we're going to roll directly into making some acquisitions that we already have lined up. So we've got well over $200 million in pipeline of interested sponsors with deals that are transacting this year.
That's exciting,
and it's easy to come by where the sponsors are obviously. Well, we want money.
Sure.
We want expertise. You're coming in with both. It's easy to get a lot of interest. And we're not actively seeking sponsors and their deals right now, but because it's a small world, people know that we're moving in that direction and are already coming and, you know, bringing deals to us and say, hey, put me on your short list. So so that's already coming together, and that's $200 million, and that'd be $200 million of participation, so $800 million to $1 billion of asset
value. Right, because you're the equity piece. Yeah, and I would say just right now we're doing the recording at the end of January, so you know, Q1, you still got 2 months and change, so that's exciting.
That's right. Exciting. And there are some ultra high net worth family offices that we're talking to, and out there, you know, there are consortia of family offices, but at the same time, a lot of impact investing, it can often be either higher risk or just feel good. And you know, we feel like, you know, we're going in the direction of saying, no, we're going to go with strong fundamental economic performance commercial real estate. And we're layering in the fact that any real estate we do is going to have this energy improvement component of it.
Right. It's not just greenwashing. You're not just putting bicycle racks in front of a building. Exactly. Yeah. No, and that's an excellent point, because, I mean, I do know that, you know, when earlier on when they were first doing, like, LEED ratings and that sort of thing, there were definitely elements there of greenwashing where it was just like, okay, well, we just
There's a big push just broadly today, both in from green real estate and in the market, to build into any project a measurement and verification plan. So, you know, the idea being, you know, we're not just going to do some sort of greenwashing. We're going to put in, you know, a measurable and monitoring, you know, focused system that will let us see exactly how close we are to that, you know, net zero energy goalpost that we are moving towards as a brand.
Got it. No, it's interesting. And I guess last couple questions just to throw it out there. From a market standpoint and a product type standpoint, do you think the strategy you're executing on, like, makes more sense for hotels, less sense for industrial, works really well in one part of the country, not so much in the other? If you had to say where you think you're going to be focusing product type and market, where do you think the most low-hanging fruit is, I guess, the best way to put it?
It's a very good question. On the one hand, I like to emphasize that we're going to go for a balanced portfolio across asset classes, and regions, because we want to emphasize the energy improvement performance piece, and we don't want to make a gamble on one region versus another or one asset class versus another. Like that's not the gamble of this particular play that we're looking to do.
Understood.
That said, hospitality is a very good fit. Energy, any asset class that has a high energy use intensity per square foot is sort of a good fit, because you look at, on the one hand, the greater percentage of the OPEX pie that goes to utility, the more at the bottom end we can improve the NOI of the building.
Right. And hotels have all those showers and all those guests facilities.
That gives you an idea of class time.
Okay. That makes sense.
On the other hand, warehouses have big, easy to access flat roofs.
Sure.
And so it's very, very easy to deploy solar across a big flat roof. And so, you know, sort of the ease of deployment makes that work well.
Right.
So then think about region. Well, there are regions of the country where energy is a lot more expensive, in the Northeast, in California, in Phoenix. And so the more expensive energy is on a per unit basis, on a per kilowatt hour basis, the easier it is to move the needle, but also the more energy is used, the easier. So someplace like Texas has lower rates for the energy that you're using, but Texas is dang hot. And so you have a lot of energy that goes towards, keeping buildings from cooking.
I've had the misfortune of being in Houston in July. Nothing against Houston, but
it can be tough, right?
All
that means that really we can leverage that sort of flexibility in like where this will work, because we're not making an energy project. Our returns are not tied to the performance of the energy project. Our performance will be tied to the economic value that the entirety of the commercial real estate is bringing, right, of that deal. The strongest driver for us will be where are good commercial real estate markets. And so you can look at places like Nashville, Raleigh, Durham, just like the markets that people are already talking about. Well, that works for us too.
Right.
Because the biggest driver of the returns will be the underlying asset. And then anything that we do just needs to be accretive to that.
And last question, and here it is. So at some point, what we're talking about goes from, to use the statement I keep using, becomes mainstream, right? Isn't a science project. And it's like buying a wrench at Home Depot. So do you think there's a point at which your strategy sort of plays itself out because everybody's doing green? Or do you think that there are enough emerging technologies coming down the pipeline over the next 10, 20 years that you could be doing this game for a long time because there's a lot more stuff coming down the pipeline that you could be utilizing?
It's a good question. And on the one hand, I have very little concern about this thesis playing out. I mean, the scale of transactions that occur each year, barring the slight pullback that we had over the last year, is enormous, right? So there's a lot of room to play here. And two, this particular structure that we're taking, where we're saying, okay, well, we're going to be financing this particular piece of a capital improvement plan that is advanced in its thinking, either sort of advanced energy system, smart building, grid interactive building, you know, like there's a lot of sort of future play that you can lean on that. But the underlying approach is different in that we're not giving money to the sponsor. We're giving money to the energy project, the improvement project, which is then being swapped in kind for the position. To the sponsor, it's same, except that it is a unique, it's a different way of sleeving our position into a deal. And okay. I think that approach, which does sort of bring in tow this alignment of interest between the deployment arm of project improvement and the equity that's coming in, I think is itself a unique play that's going to not go away anytime soon.
Interesting. No, I figured I'd ask. I mean, because again, I mean, I've been kicking around the industry for a bit, and it's been fun to watch certain technologies.
There's going to be just an increasing mainstream of what's being included in new build. But then, right. you know, they'll say 50% of the buildings that are going to be around in 2050 have already been built. Right. So there's a lot of existing stock out there that'll also be renovated over time.
No. So, and I mean, look, for my part, I own apartment buildings in Northern Jersey. And I mean, we have buildings that still use steam heat and we see them all the time. And you look at a steam heat building and you're like, that is the most god awful, inefficient way of heating a building. Like you're just literally boiling water.
But it's already there. So you think, okay, well, it's a sunk cost. But
right. But
at transaction, you know, it's not a sunk cost, right? You know, any dollar you put in and then you turn around and sell it through the magic of math,
right?
you can realize that value you create.
Yeah, I mean, generally, if you're using any technology that's 100 years old, we probably came up with a better way of doing it. So you gotta be aware of it. Now, it's interesting. Well, look, this has been fun to talk about. And anytime I can get through conversations about energy without going down the ESG rabbit hole is good. We talked about practical things like making money, putting money to work, and along the way also making buildings more energy efficient and more reliant. So again, Chad, much appreciated. And as far as web address goes, if anyone wants to find you guys, I guess the Repower Holdings website is not up yet, right?
That's right. We're not a public active fund yet. So go to correlate.energy. Correlate being the deployment partner, but also one of the managing partners of the fund as it's coming together.
But at some point, we expect there'll be a link to Repower Holdings or something.
Repowerholdings.com. We've got the URL. We'll turn it on. We'll turn it on when it's time.
So for those of you listening to it, because we're recording at the end of January and we probably won't release for a few weeks, maybe the website will be up, maybe it won't. We'll see. But either way, at least people have a place to go. Chad, thanks again. I'm glad we had the chance to sit down.
Appreciate it, Josh.